Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
If you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need them.
How about if we go to Bill Nye and we say, look, you want to believe in a mindless, purposeless goal as evolution, you go ahead and do it. But whatever you do, Bill, don't raise your children that way. Raise them to be Bible-believing Christians and creationists. Now, how far would that go?
Even our confession sucks. And the gracious God in Jesus Christ says, be of good cheer, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Peace be unto you. And all of it based on Christ, not us.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
Well, I read it when I first saw it. Someone posted on Facebook, and this was earlier today, and I thought the first time I read this article, this column, that it had to be a sick joke. There was no possible way that a rational person could write such a thing with a straight face. So it had to be a joke, and then a very sick one, a very dark and sardonic one at that. Really grisly, if you think about it, not just violating the bounds of bad taste, but really violating the bounds of a humane way of thinking about life. The article was titled, I Wish My Mother Had Aborted Me, and the article keeps true to its title from beginning to end. Now, you may not have read it. We're going to talk a little bit about it with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. I don't know what to make of it, but we'll see what Jennifer has to say here for the next few minutes. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, talking about the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan to come back saying, let's go. The other 10 say, no, we can't do it. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, or our Twitter address, at IssuesETC. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
I counted three or four times in the course of this article, I Wish My Mother Had Aborted Me, where it is repeated, I am able to say I love my life, but I wish my mother had aborted me, a little bit later in the article. An abortion would have been best for me, talking about her own abortion. And then if I could go back in time and make the choice for my mother, it would be abortion. I thought it was a sick joke. What was your first reaction to this column?
Well, you know, when I read it, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, which I guess is kind of what you're saying, too. You know, at first you think, no, they're putting me on, you know. But then you realize how sad the whole story is. You know, she's talking about a life of extreme poverty, of a lot of, what do we want to say, kind of instability, of loss and hurt and mental illness and all kinds of human drama and human difficulty and problems. And you think what this person has taken away from her life is that the solution to all of this would be death. You know, for me to have not existed, that would have been the solution. I found it heartbreaking, honestly, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's not enough for me to say I disagree with this woman's policy views. You know, I have to say it's heartbreaking to think that a grown woman who is in full possession of her faculty, she's not crazy, she's not kidding, but for her to come to the conclusion that the solution to her mother's problems would be for her to be dead, it's just extremely, extremely sad.
When I first read this, I thought this is someone so committed to the pro-abortion agenda that they're willing to kind of step out on the rational edge and make what essentially sounds to me like kind of suicidal expressions. I know that she would bristle at that. But I wonder whether or not, you say she's serious, whether or not she really believes that death is preferable to the life that she has.
Well, I think what she's trying to say is that, you know, she says in here, Todd, she says, I love my life. I've created a good life for myself. But what she's trying to say is that my mother's life went down the tubes because I was born. And if she had done differently, if she had aborted me, her college-educated parents somehow wouldn't have kicked her out, or she would have been part of the family in a different way, or, you know, none of these terrible things would have happened to her if I hadn't been born. But then I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, but wait a second. The way all of the problems that she talks about, many of those same problems would have been there in any case. I mean, you know, if your parents are the kind of people who will completely reject you and allow you to go through mental illness without any assistance or support, if they're that kind of person, then those parents would have been a problem to her mom in any case, right? There are a lot of very, very human problems that were part of her life and part of her mother's life that would have still been there even if she had not been aborted. You know, so the idea that you can solve all of this by one less life being involved, you know, seems to me to be the wrong way of looking at it. And I think what makes me so sad about it, Todd, is that we have trained ourselves mentally to think in utilitarian terms, so that the question she's posing should actually be unthinkable. You should literally not ever think about, gosh, my life would be better off if this person were dead, or that person would be better off if I were dead. We shouldn't be doing that kind of calculation about ourselves or about anyone else, you know. And once you start down that road of doing those calculations, we're sunk. You know, everybody's vulnerable to being on the wrong end of that kind of calculation. And so I was just chilled to the bone by it. I'm getting the chills just sitting here talking to you about it.
The other aspect of this article, I wish my mother had aborted me, is her irritation, I think, growing on, she says infuriation, with stories that she say are kind of abortion survival stories.
Yes.
She calls them emotional blackmail. The most prominent one, obviously, is Rebecca Kiesling. She's been on the program recently here. She tells the story about being the survivor of an abortion, and she tells it rather compelling. But the author of this article says, no, that's emotional blackmail. How do you respond?
Well, you know, in a certain way, almost anything can count as emotional blackmail. I mean, if you're going to discount Rebecca Kiesling as emotional blackmail, then you have to discount the so-called story of Norma McCorvey, who was Jane Roe. You know, I mean, all the left has ever given us about why we should support abortion is emotional blackmail. I mean, the war on women, that phrase is emotional blackmail. Emotional blackmail is the only thing they've got. If we threw all of that out, they wouldn't have a case. You know, we'd be finished. The whole thing would be finished. So I'm not going to let them go down that path and get off the hook so easily. As you say, Rebecca Kiesling, this is the woman who was conceived in rape. Is that correct?
Yes.
Am I remembering this story correctly? Yes. You know, she's pretty popular on college campuses among some of the Students for Life clubs. A lot of them bring her to campus, you know, to give her testimony. And, you know, what she's trying to say is that life is the answer, love is the answer, that if you've got problems inside your family, if you've got problems in living, the solution to your problem is never to kill somebody. You would never say that about somebody who's born. You know, my mom's a pain in the neck, let's kill her. You know, you would never say that about somebody who's born. The proper way to look at it is to say, how do we support one another? How do we pour more love into the situation? How do we heal the wounds that we have by loving one another more? You don't throw up your hands and say, let's kill somebody over it. And so for her to dismiss Rebecca Kiesling as emotional blackmail, I don't know what kind of argument this person would accept, I guess. That's what bothers me about it. Her argument, the only thing she's got as an argument, is that if the mother says, this is too hard, she gets to kill the baby, you know. And that's not much of an argument.
With only about a minute here, is this kind of the ultimate sales pitch of the pro-choice side, basically telling women in this article, hey, if you don't have that abortion, you're going to end up like my mom, and maybe everyone will end up regretting, including the child's life that you save? Only about a minute here, Jennifer.
Yes. Do you know, I mean, what you just put your finger on is that she's running the emotional blackmail in reverse, you know, basically saying, if you give birth to this baby, you're going to regret it. And I have to ask myself, what kind of a movement is it that is so dependent on everybody agreeing with them that they can't accept that people are making the choice to carry the baby to term? Why do they have to scare people like that? Why do they have to use this type of very emotionally laden argument? You know, it seems to me that what the pro-choice position is and always has been is it's a position in favor of the unbridled expression of the human will with no constraint, with no regard for another person. That is really what it's all about. It's right to have this abortion because I say it's right. And I'm not answerable to any other standard outside of myself. And I think we are seeing just how deadly that position actually is. In 1973, you might have been able to get away with saying it was not a big deal. You cannot say that anymore.
With only about 30 seconds here, how was your debate last week at UCLA on the issue of same-sex marriage? About 30 seconds here, Jennifer.
Oh, well, I crushed the poor guy. And it's up on the Ruth Institute podcast, so you can hear for yourself, you can judge for yourself whether you think I won or not, but just go to Ruth Institute podcast and you'll hear me debating Gary Gates of the UCLA Law School. And it was fascinating to me. He started off by saying that he was offended that he even had to debate the question, and that he didn't think we should think about marriage as an institution. We should think about it only as having to do with individuals and their lives. And I promptly replied, well, you know what? If we never take responsibility for the condition of the institution of marriage, it's not going to be there to help anybody live their lives. So it was really quite an astonishing performance on his part. And it began with that, and it ended with him saying, you know, gosh, you say that marriage is about attaching children to their parents. We could do that a lot of different ways. We don't need marriage for that. And I just thought, man, this is a nightmare, what you're proposing.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute. We'll have a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you.
You're welcome.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll be in Numbers chapters 13 and 14.
Well, Justin has completed his summer work at Sylvan Learning Center in Edwardsville. His reading comprehension has improved more than 3 grade levels, and his vocabulary has increased almost an entire grade level. Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville has a 6-week back-to-school boot camp. Their phone number is 618-656-0500, 618-656-0500. Emily has 4 weeks left at Sylvan. A report on her progress next time.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues, Etc. It's the new Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues, Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.